Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We got the power. I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of people choosing to worship a lot of different things. Especially unfortunately on a Sunday. Some are worshiping their favorite team. Some are worshiping their favorite hobby. Some are worshiping their favorite outdoor activity. It's funny, father-in-law and I were walking through the fair, and he's talking about all the displays of the campers and the, you know, the outdoor adventure stuff. And we were talking back and forth, and he said, those things are nice. He said, but I don't think I'd get much use out of something like that. I said, yeah. I said, you know, I know people have them, and I'm not demeaning anybody that has campers, RVs. Brother, Sister Graham, this is not a slight against you and your RV and your camper, any of you. But I told him, I said, you know what? I said, those things are good for people who are retired or who don't go to church on weekends. And I'm not retired, and I go to church every weekend. So I wouldn't get much use out of it. But there's no place I'd rather be than here in the house of the Lord, lifting my hands in worship and praise unto Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We lift you up. We magnify you. We praise your precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you're standing, if you'll grab your Bibles and while you're turning to Psalm chapter 87, I will quickly get rid of all the apps my children have opened throughout the day. Psalms chapter number 87. Short chapter, but one I would like to focus upon in your hearing tonight. Psalms 87, begin reading in verse number 1. It says, a psalm or song of the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. Everybody say, gates of Zion. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Everybody say, the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre. With Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. As well, the singers as the players on instruments shall be there, all my springs are in thee. Say, well, that's an interesting psalm, Pastor. I don't have a clue what it's saying. Well, good. That's kind of why I'm here. But I want you to pay particular attention to verse number 2. The Bible says, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. We've been singing, we've been worshiping, and you notice the kind of the theme throughout the song set tonight is having to do with worship. And might I say this, it kind of goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Worship is a very important part of your walk and relationship with God. Being willing to come and gather together and lift your voice, lift your hands, to sing a song, to worship. It's important. Strengthens you. Helps you. Chapter 2 is basically saying, when you look at it, the gates of Zion would be, gates are known as areas of public interaction. Dwellings are known of places of private interaction. The inference here in Psalms 87:2 is that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion, or the Lord loveth public displays of worship more than all the private displays of worship. Catch this. Now, please, and I'm gonna take some time to set the groundwork for this. This does not in any way, shape, or form demean or diminish private worship. You have to have, and I have to have, a private relationship with God where we read our Bibles, where we pray, where we interact with the Spirit of God on a personal, private level. It is absolutely essential in the heart and life of a believer to have a personal walk and relationship with God. Boy, there is something about coming together with people of like precious faith. There is something about gathering together with my brothers and sisters in a public place and lifting our hands and lifting our voice, not being ashamed that we're here worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord loves it when we're not ashamed to come together. We're not ashamed to lift our hands. We're not ashamed to lift our voice. I know there's private time and there's those personal moments, and I don't diminish it, I don't degrade those one iota, but we also need to understand it is so essential and so important that we come together in a public forum. We come together and here in the house of the Lord, in the sanctuary of the Most High, we lift our hands and we lift our voices and we find strength in the Spirit of Almighty God. It is of the utmost importance. For I want to preach to you upon this subject. The gates of Zion and the dwellings of Jacob. The gates of Zion and the dwellings of Jacob. Would you put your Bibles down and bow your head, and can we all in one accord lift up the Lord for a few minutes? Dear Jesus, we love you. Oh, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together, Lord. Lord, let us leave here with a greater understanding, God, of what it means to gather together in a public forum, God, to lift our hands and lift our voice and praise unto you, God. Lord, we do not demean or diminish what is done in a private setting, Lord, in our daily devotion. But, Lord, we need to understand that we should never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching, that we should gather together and lift our hands and lift our voice and praise and worship unto you, for you are due and you are worthy of it, Lord, and you love the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor, who you are and what you do, in your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It may be that your Bible was like mine, and at this heading of Psalm chapter 87, there was this subheading, there was this title, if you will, in reference to Psalm 87, my Bible had there in bold, and it said, "The Nature and Glory of the Church." It is imperative that we understand that this building, and although I know it is in the flesh or in the natural, is nothing more than just a structure, a building. It is not literally the house of God in the sense of we understand that he dwells in temples not made with hands. We understand the Spirit of Almighty God is such that it really doesn't matter what the place is in the sense of the structure or the building. What matters is the people who are there. What matters is, are the hearts receptive and willing for the power and presence of God to do His perfect will in the midst? So when I speak of the two differences between gates of Zion and dwellings of Jacob, I do so in referencing the gates of Zion as public worship and the dwellings of Jacob as private worship. The distinction is made in Scripture, and it is not that the Lord in any way, shape, or form demeans or looks down upon the dwellings of Jacob. There is no intent at all in the Scripture to make private worship less beneficial. There is no intent. There is nothing in this Scripture that makes private worship or adherence in the dwellings of Jacob. It is not demeaned or diminished by the statement of Scripture. We need to understand that we cannot stress enough the absolute necessity of a private walk and relationship with God. One is not a substitute for the other. I can't be all public worship and no private worship. And I can't be all private worship and no public worship. There has to be, in the sense of Scripture, there is both. And we know that when it comes to the dwellings of Jacob, we know that when it comes to a personal walk and relationship with God, that the Lord does appreciate, that the Lord does look down upon in favor to that walk and personal walk and relationship with Him. But might I say this, in the sense of public worship, in the sense of the gates of Zion, in the sense of us gathering together, I fear that often our public worship services are not what they should be, largely in part to the lack of private worship. I know it wouldn't get too many amens on that. I fear that much of what we do many times in the house of the Lord, when we gather together in a public setting, when we assemble ourselves together, much of what goes on is really what needs to happen in our private devotion. There are a lot of people that use the altar of the church as the only place of repentance, and that's not the way God intended it to be. We need to have altars of repentance in our home where on a daily basis, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I come before God on a daily basis, and I repent. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So on a daily consistent basis, I take the time to make it a priority to have private worship unto God, where I read the Word of God, where I interact with the power and presence of God. If we are doing what we should be doing in our dwellings, catch this, the gates of Zion would be much more splendid. When we come together for public worship, it would be an atmosphere that would be absolutely electric with the power and presence of God. But the problem is, often we do not do what we need to do in the dwellings of Jacob. We don't spend the time in private that we need to. And so we come to service, and we use service as a time to repent, and we use service as a time to get our heart right with God, when it should have been right with God before we walked in through the doors. We should have spent time in a private setting in the dwellings of Jacob, getting things right between me and God, and praying and doing the things that are going to make it so when I walk in to the gates of Zion, when I walk into the house of the Lord, there's an excitement, there's an expectation in my heart that says I'm ready for whatever God has, and I'll lift my hands and I'll lift my voice in celebration of what we've done in private setting, I'll show publicly. See, it is God's intent. It is God's desire. What is done in a public setting, what is done for all to see, is backed up, if you will, is shored up, is founded upon what happens in a private setting. But you see, here's the thing. You got to catch this. We all, many of us who've been raised in church and we spend any time in Sunday school at all, we've heard the story of David and Goliath. We've heard of how David came and he was sent on an errand from his father to go to the battlefield. And we know, we've heard the story numerous times, how Goliath stands in the valley and he challenges the armies of Israel, and he beckons for them to send a man to come and fight him in the valley. David makes it known. David has the question, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Why would anybody just stand there and let that guy, that uncircumcised Philistine, defy the armies of the living God? Why has somebody not stepped up? Why has somebody not walked out in a public setting? Why has somebody not presented themselves on the battlefield? Why has somebody not? There's experienced warriors here. There's men who've spent many battles, and they're not willing to come outside of their tent. They want to stay in their dwellings because the big giant Goliath, he's there in the valley, and he's calling. And David said, is there not a cause? I'll go and fight this Philistine. And it's rehearsed before Saul. And Saul says, bring that young man to me. And he comes into Saul. And Saul says, what makes you think you can do something like this? I know I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but he asked young David, what makes you think you can go out? And in this public setting where there is so much at stake, where it's already been said that if their champion wins, we become
they're servants. But if our champion wins, then they become our servants. There's a lot at stake here, David. This is something that's going to be talked about. This is something that's public. This is something that's out there. What makes you think, David, that you can go out there and combat? You were but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. Why do you think you can go and do this? David said, well, and I'm paraphrasing again, King Saul, you need to understand, I've been doing some stuff in a private setting. I've been spending some time on the hills of Bethlehem. I've been watching over my father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock, and I went, and I rose up against him, and I grabbed him by his beard, and I slew him. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and of the bear, and he shall deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. You see, Saul, what you need to understand is that I've been doing stuff in private. I've been doing stuff when nobody else is watching. I've been doing stuff in secret. And the Bible says, he that doeth in secret, the Lord shall reward thee openly. And so now I understand I've got opportunity to go out there and make a public display. And not for my glory, but for the glory of God. Because anybody seeing me walk out there knows the odds are stacked against me. But oh, he's defying the armies of the living God. And so now I'm going to walk out in a public setting. I'm going to walk down in the valley, and Lord, you're going to get the glory. You see, the reality is, the reason why God loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob is because God gets glory when stuff is done in a public fashion, and people can testify of God's goodness and God's power and God's provision. It's not that doing something alone in the dwelling of Jacob or in a private setting is not good. It is good, and it's beneficial, but it makes possible what happens in the gates of Zion. So it is necessary that I do things in a private setting. It is necessary that I, like David did, when nobody else is watching, and I get no public applause or public praise, but I do because I know it's necessary. I know there's coming a point and there's coming a time where God is going to show out, and God is going to reveal what's been going on in a private setting is going to be made manifest in a public setting. And so I'll do what I need to do on a daily basis, because there's coming a day that the Lord will receive glory in the gates of Zion. See, we need to understand something about the Lord. And it is not because he is egotistical. It is not because he is arrogant. It isn't even though he's all powerful. Simply because his glory will he not give to another. Because he wants us to understand that he loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. And the reason why is because others come to understand. Others are edified when something is done in a public setting. And when I allow the power and presence of God to use me in a public fashion, you read Corinthians and you will find the Apostle Paul is giving the church at Corinth. He said, listen, you need to do things in the right way. Why? Because if you do them in the right way in a public setting, it's going to edify the church of the living God. It's going to build up the church. I know there's times when you pray silently and it edifies yourself, and that's all well and that's good. You need to build yourself up praying in this almost holy faith. But there's also times in a public setting where you need to lift your voice and be used by the power and presence of God so that God gets the glory, so that the unbelievers that are present can say, wait a second, I've been in something real. I've been in something tangible, though I may not understand it, though I may not be able to wrap my brain around it. There is a power in the presence of God. For the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. So it is right, it is proper, it is biblical, it is scriptural, it is the way that God intended that we would gather together and lift our voices, that we would gather together and lift our hands as a public display, saying, the Lord has set me free. I'm not bound by my pride, I'm not bound by my image, I'm not bound by what you think of me or what you don't think of me. I am bound by my love and affection for the one who gave his life for me, and I'm not ashamed to worship. I'm not ashamed to lift my voice. I'm not ashamed to lift my hands and thank Jesus for what he's done. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. And so when I come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto them and bless his name. David was not shy. He was not bashful. He knew. He knew as a boy he was undeserving of the favor of God. He knew as a boy he should have been the last one that Samuel poured the horn of oil over his head. David knew. And so when David had opportunity to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem, when David had an opportunity to make a public display and a public showing of how happy and how joyous it was to bring the presence of God into the gates of Zion, to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says that David did something that his own wife looked at him and said, oh, how foolish were you today before the maids. You uncovered yourself, you took off your kingly robes, and you danced before the Lord. The Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. David began to worship. Why? Because David knew what God had done for him in a private setting. David knew what God had done for him throughout his life. And now he has opportunity to somehow give back unto God what God has given unto him. And so he began to play before the Lord. Catch this. His wife mocking and ridiculing David for doing what he did in the public display of his affection for God. And I love David's reply. I love David looked at that woman and he said, oh, hey, it's God that made me king. It's God that raised me up. It's God that has done this work in my life. And guess what? I recognize it. You may not recognize it. You may not understand. You don't know like I know what God has done for me. You can't tell it like I can tell it what God has done. You don't have my testimony. I have my testimony. I know what God. I know the dreams and aspirations I had as the youngest son, as the one who was always overlooked. I know what I felt and what I desired on the hillsides of Bethlehem as I played my harp and sung unto the Lord. I know what was in my heart. You don't know what was in my heart, but I know what was in my heart and how God has seen fit to elevate me and bring me to the place that I am. Look at me, lady, and understand these words. I will be even more vile than this. Whatever you think is wrong and you want to look at it in disdain, I understand praise is comely before God and he appreciates my praise. So you be offended if you want to. You look at me crazy if you want to. But I know what he's done for me and I know where he's taken me, and so I worship. For the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Catch this. want to know why? One of the reasons why the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. How many of us were born again in a public church setting or a tent revival? Now, I'm not saying that. I know there's some that were born again. I know there's some that received the power of the Holy Ghost in their kitchen or beside the bed or on the couch. I get that. But the majority of us, if I ask for a show of hands, I guarantee you the majority of us would say, oh, yeah, Pastor, it happened in a public setting. It happened with other people around me praying with me. It happened at the gates of Zion when I was born again. Now, look back at the verse of Scripture. Look back at Psalms 87. He said, listen, I'll make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Rahab was an epitaph of Egypt. It referenced bondage. And Babylon represents confusion. And he said, listen, can I paraphrase? I'll make mention of the time I was in bondage and I was confused. I'll talk about it to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this man was born there. You see, we were all born in sin and shaping in iniquity. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. But catch the next verse. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Where? I tell you where. The gates of Zion. That this man was born in a public setting. Why? How do I know? Because I tell you who was there. As well the singers as the players on the instruments shall be there. And all my springs are in thee. See, we need to understand according to the word of God. For the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Again, I do not in any way, shape, or form demean the private relationship with God. It's necessary. But oh, the Lord loves when people get together. He said, we're two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst. I'm right in the middle. It doesn't matter if it's a church with a church sign. It doesn't matter if it's a storefront building. It doesn't matter if it's a home. It doesn't matter if it's a tent revival. It doesn't matter if it's a brush art. It doesn't matter where it is. The Lord says, I love the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Wherever there is a public display, I'm not saying I won't meet with you in your prayer closet. I certainly will. My word says that I will meet with you. And there I'm going to bless you. And there I'm going to help you. But oh, and it's not that I demean that in any way, shape, or form. But you need to understand there's edification that happens for the whole body. Not only does it benefit you, but it benefits those around about you. When in a public setting, in the gates of Zion, you begin to lift your hands and you begin to lift your voice and you begin to worship unto God. It's necessary. It's right. And the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Say, well, Pastor, do you really have to do all that stuff? Really have to get so emotional and boisterous? Really have to loud? I try. You know I try. Remain calm. Is it really necessary that I don't know. The Bible seems to place more importance upon it. It seems to me Seems to me that when Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail, just some whispered repetition probably wouldn't have had the same effect. When at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. Paul, you're sleeping. Bring it down a notch. Hey, don't. We went by them. There's some pretty rough guys in here. Bring it down. Let's pray. I'm not making fun. I'm not demeaning. There is something to be said for reverence and piety, and those things are right. I'm not, please understand my heart, I'm not demeaning that. There's a time and a place for that. It's called in the dwellings of Jacob. It's called in my prayer closet when I can be quiet and I can be reserved and I can be, and sometimes it's that way in a public setting, but oh, if I don't ever experience, if I don't ever really understand that the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. It's not that He doesn't love the dwellings of Jacob. It's not that He doesn't appreciate that. It's not that He doesn't look favorably upon that. He does. It's right. It's good. But there's something better. Catch it. It's good. It's right. I encourage anybody, man, if you don't pray at all, pray. It's got to be quiet. Be quiet. Just pray. But I would to God that you would understand there's a growth and there's some process that takes place. And the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. And there comes a point in time where I'm not ashamed to publicly. I'm not afraid to reveal to those around about me how much I appreciate what God has done for me. And yes, it's to be done in accordance with Scripture. And yes, it's to be done in the sense that it edifies the body and other people are encouraged and uplifted. And I realize, and please understand. I realize there's a lot of denomination and there's a lot of other religious walks which don't understand why we are so demonstrative and why we lift our voice and why we lift our hands and why sometimes we shout and why sometimes we dance and why sometimes we cry. And please read the Scripture for yourself. Understand, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. That public display of worship. And it's not so you think I'm holy. And it's not so that you think I'm all well and good. It's not so that you think I'm super spiritual. No. It's simply I'm not ashamed to display how much I love my Lord. I'm not ashamed. My wife talked about me a little earlier, so I'll talk about her now. See, she, in our relationship one with another, yes, there's that personal interaction, and yes, there are those times where it's just her and I. But there are also those times when she so much appreciates that out in public, I grab her hand, put my arm around her. I have a public display of affection. It shows everybody who sees I love her. I'm glad I'm with her and she's with me. So much is said and so much is spoken without being spoken. My body language towards her, the way I represent our relationship in a public setting. In that same sense, it would do no good if I was constantly affectionate with her in a public setting, but not in a private setting. It's a balance. It's understanding that in my love for her, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, men ought to love their wives. And so I give myself for her and my set my manly pride aside. I stand there with the shopping bags as she goes into the store. I act like I'm happy to be at the mall. I smile and remain smiling when she tells me how much she spent. The Bible says we understand spiritual things by natural things. If I was not able to say anything at all, if I was not able to verbally express my love and affection for Jesus Christ, but by my actions alone, people still understand that I love Him. Would I be able to demonstrate in my activity, in my, yes, somewhat demonstrative way, that I love God? Because when I'm willing to set my pride aside, that's why the writer said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Yes. Wow, that's kind of odd. Last time you saw someone walking around Target.
Right.
I said, well, Brother Wells, that's absurd. How much am I willing to show and express how much I appreciate His love for me? Because the Bible says, for the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Psalmist said it this way, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I'd rather have some, what some would think, just a menial task as a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, in a public show that I'm present, that I'm here.
Yes. Yes.
Huh. Yes. So, I don't know, I said it before. You ain't gotta be so loud. Lord ain't deaf. I know. As I said before, He ain't nervous either. I can lift my hands. I would to God that we would understand the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. And I'm sorry, you can profess all you want. Well, it's just me and the Lord, and I have a just walking relationship. That's good. I appreciate that. I'm not demeaning that. But that private relationship needs to be displayed in a public setting, and so it's right. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's right. It's biblical. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When the Israelite looked over the Red Sea, saw the Egyptians, their former captors, making their way across the land, fear began to rise in their hearts as they saw their taskmasters and those that had laid whips upon their back and had kept them in submission. make their way towards them. But then all of a sudden, the walls of the Red Sea came crashing down. And the horse and his rider got drowned in the midst of the sea. Let me tell you what Miriam did not do. She did not walk over to the edge of the shore and look out over the sea where God had just destroyed the Egyptians and say, it's good. Got rid of those pesky fellows. Let's go, guys. The Bible says she picked up a tambourine. She began to dance. She began to play. And they began to join her. Why? Because they realized what had just happened. They realized what had just taken place and what God had done for them. And so now it's their opportunity to give a public display of appreciation. The horse and its rider hath God drowned into the midst of the sea. I don't ever have to worry about being in bondage to them again. I don't ever have to worry about the whip being laid across my back. And so I'm not ashamed to show everybody I'm grateful for what God has done.
For you, like nobody's watching, nobody's watching, gonna dance for you. Nobody's listening, gonna sing for you, my Lord. I'm not holding anything back. I will worship you with all that I am. To worship the name of Jesus. Jesus.
Pastor, I can't sing that well. That's all right. I'm going to sing like nobody's listening. I'm just going to belt it out. The Bible just says make a joyful noise. It doesn't even have to be on key. I'm just going to lift my voice. Because I'm not ashamed to worship the one who died for me. I'm not ashamed.
Ashamed to shout out your name, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Praise your name, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Worship you like nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Gonna worship you, my Lord. I'm gonna worship you like nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Gonna worship you, my Lord. Holding anything back. I will worship you with all that I am. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus. Jesus. Well, I'm not ashamed to shout
shout out your name, Jesus, Jesus.
Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm gonna dance for you. Lord, I'm gonna sing for you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus. Oh, shout out the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm not ashamed to worship the name of Jesus. Jesus. Well, I'm not ashamed to shout out your name. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Can we take a few moments right now and lift our hand, lift our voice? Lord, I'm not ashamed to worship you. Lord, I love you more than I love myself. I love you more than I love my pride or my own image, Lord. I'm not ashamed to lift my voice and say I love you. I'm not afraid to shout it out, Lord, that I appreciate what you've done for me. I thank you, Jesus. Let me demonstrate in my daily life, in a public fashion, how much I appreciate what you've done for me, Jesus. I'm not ashamed to show it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For the Lord loveth the gates of Zion. More than the dwellings of Jacob. Thank you, Jesus. What would our services be like? If we spent the time in a private setting doing what needs to be done, and then we were not ashamed to come in the public forum in a public setting and reveal our appreciation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, which shows and reveals. Lord, it's both. One does not a substitute for the other. Worship in a private setting in the dwellings of Jacob is good. But your word tells us that you love the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Let me not be ashamed to display, to demonstrate my affection for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God created us emotional beings. We express ourselves in our emotions. There's no one more worthy of the expression of my emotions than the one who created them. So I come before you, God, in recognition that you love the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Help me to worship you
privately and publicly. For you are so due. You're so worthy of any and all that I could give. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Consider it an honor that you have opportunity to come. Publicly display your affection for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.